We were talking about firearms and medical cannabis, especially, you know, for veterans and so Michael, what was some of the new things that you kind of came across since our last call in regards to this topic?
Okay, so I spoke with one of the attorneys out on the West Coast. That's actually attorney Lee Berger, who successfully fought a case in the Supreme Court of Oregon. But that case was not a case that wound up going to the appeals court. There was yet another case. And but I was able to really get an idea of what is really you know, in the middle of these cases, how these are all about, you know, the courts seem to be about issues. You know, that's what my layman's perspective would have been going into the courts. You know, it's about issues. You can go and fight the law, you know, if the law is wrong, or you can present your case, you know, on the issues. And it really isn't about it. It's very, very circumstantial. And the circumstances of the cases that went to the appeals court so far were very interesting to me because they sort of gave up on the notion of whether you could actually use marijuana, you know, possess and use marijuana or, you know, cannabis under state medical marijuana law or otherwise, and possess a firearm. That they pretty much they just haven't even broached that issue. Apparently, what has been at issue in these circumstances has been people that have had the card for a medical marijuana program and then claimed to the court that they had never actually used marijuana, they just got the card, and that the possession of the card itself was implying that they were using medical marijuana and therefore made them ineligible to get a concealed carry license. And I think, you know, this is just me thinking, but this is what these calls are all about, just kind of thinking out loud here. But, you know, if you're using medical marijuana under state law, and you're using it under recommendation from your doctor, and you go to your doctor and you pay them with money and they pay their taxes, and this is all very legal, and then you go and you get cannabis from a dispensary, again, it's following state guidelines, it's also staying within the federal guardrails. You're paying with a credit card. You're taking this stuff home. It's all on the up and up. You asked a police officer for directions, you know, on the way out of the clinic. I mean, whatever. It's legal. You don't feel any threat of arrest whatsoever. But yet, then somehow this is illegal enough that it's considered illegal drug use under this act. I just don't buy it. I think that reversing the kind of the notion of standing, again, you know, it's not about the issues. If you go into federal court and you try to fight the law has to have offended you. You have to really, like, face jail or some other imminent real threat from the law. You can't just say that you're afraid of the, you know, the law coming after you if you do what you need to do. It doesn't work that way. But if you go in there and you claim standing based on the fact that you're using medical marijuana and you're using it legally under state law, they would consider in the courts, I'm sure of it, that you had no threat of arrest. You had no standing. There's got to be a way for us to reverse this. It's kind of big think stuff, but I think we're going to have to figure out some kind of legal theory here and follow it.
Michael, it's Sean Kiernan, and I apologize. I don't know who's on the phone besides you. But I wanted
you're
to
on the call. Hey, Sean, you're on the call with everybody, but go ahead, speak up.
Hey, thanks. Wouldn't just apply, when you apply, like in Arizona, I mean, I've had it, excuse me, you apply, you go to get, buy your gun, you just fill out the questionnaire, the federal backgrounds check. I believe, if I'm not incorrect, it asks you straight up, do you do drugs, have you done drugs, or are you a medical marijuana, at least in Nevada, it does say that. And
the form says, are you addicted to, or habitual user of illegal drugs, and you know, we're kind of thinking this through, but you know, using it under a medical marijuana law, you're under doctor's orders, you're certainly not addicted, and saying that you're using it illegally just doesn't seem to fit, you know what I mean?
No, I agree, but what I'm getting to the point is that the actual part, you can incur the actual part just by buying a gun, disclose you're a medical marijuana holder. That will deny you the right to buy a gun or refuse sale, and that's your key, you know, the aggression, you know, that occurs that allows you to sue.
Well, like I said, so far, I think it was just before you got on the call, but I was running through the cases that have been brought to the court so far, and they've conceded the marijuana issue, essentially, and what they've been talking about are cases where people have got a medical marijuana card but actually never even used marijuana. They just had the card, and they were trying to argue that, you know, you can't just deny someone just for basically being, quote-unquote, a medical marijuana patient unless they're actively using marijuana, I guess, is their argument. So what we're going to have to do, I think, with this line of logic that we're talking about is come up with a whole new strategy, a whole new approach, and find a different case to run off of. It's really, you know, a lot more challenging than I had anticipated.
And I got it. We'll talk offline. I think I have a thought, though, but I was a little confused of where you're coming from, so I will think it through with you offline.
Yeah, and you know, certainly Sean and I have talked about issues that come up around this as well that we haven't talked about on the conference call yet in previous calls, and that is it is clearly illegal to possess a firearm under certain circumstances that are written in the law elsewhere. In the case of someone who's been released from prison after being serving a felony sentence, right? Is that right, Sean?
Correct. Yes. But the bigger one for veterans is simply the, you know, any time, depending on what state you're in, 5150 in California, Nevada 2000. You get your gun rights limited when you're involuntarily observed at the VA. The first time, I think, 5 years, and then the second time, it's life ban from owning a firearm.
Whoa, so that's another issue that we should definitely look into if they're pulling people into that for drug use or for marijuana especially.
No, it's not even that. It's the veteran side, and I know this is cannabis, so we'll move on, but it's something you need to address because 93% of all the list on the federal no-buy list gun registry are vets who have been reported as mentally unstable, and all that is basically guys going in and just getting held for 72 hours.
Well, we had a vet in Maine who was at wit's end, had gone to the VA, and the whole thing was about marijuana. He had gone in there and talked to him about using marijuana, and that got him in a real face-to-face with these guys. They really started following him around with police and everything, and it devolved. And this vet reacted very harshly to that. It came back armed, and it wound up being a fatality. The police shot him on the campus. And there was yet another case in Maine where a veteran suffered post-traumatic stress. The police showed up at a domestic dispute at his house where in any other circumstance they would have come with, you know, much toned down approach, but they were told that this was a violent veteran, suffered post-traumatic stress. They were all pumped up, and he showed up at the door with a kitchen knife in his hand, and they just blew him away. So I think this is actually something that, you know, cannabis is in there. I mean, cannabis may be two steps back in the chain from where the circumstances hit the road, but I'm willing to take that stretch.
Okay.
Well, all right. Hey, and Sean, this is Aaron Augustus. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good. You know, something nice that is interesting for me is people that are in the cannabis industry, whether they're growing or what have you, most of the people that are growing up in the hills, those people possess firearms to protect their property. And from my understanding, that's if you're caught with the firearm and you're cultivating or, you know, acting in the crime, so to speak, right, then it's a minimum of 5 years per firearm.
Yeah, no, the story with firearms is interesting because there was that big case in Washington a couple of years ago. It wasn't veteran-related, but state of Washington, they were legal in their grow on the medical side. For within the rules of the state of Washington, but they were still being prosecuted by the feds. And basically what ends up happening is five of the six counts got thrown out, and the father of it died of cancer, so the charges got, but he got found, they ended up spending about a year in jail, but they were under threat of 10 years in jail, and it varies the number of firearms of the offense. But this is what people are saying. Anytime you have a gun, even if it's registered and legal, in your vicinity, is any an illegal illicit drug that you have illegally, it becomes a federal offense, and I think the minimum is 10 years, actually, because that's what it was, and they use that, and that's one of the things they hold over a lot of these drug people's heads when they say, okay, we're going to either plead guilty to X, or we're going to charge you and take you to trial, and you're going to spend up to 10 to 20 years in jail, and then everyone goes, oh, I'll plead and take 6 months in jail. And that's what's going on in our court system in terms of, you know, they're just trying to get these people to plead, and that's what they use. They use those heavy hammers of things like the gun against people. I don't know any of you guys who know N.A. Poe, who got arrested in Philly this weekend. It's going around, and he was a big-time activist with Mike Weider in Philly. He got illegal. He got raided. They had, like, this event going on where they were selling cannabis and raided, and I think there was 4 guns at the property, all legally registered, including the security guard. But remember, cannabis isn't legal to be sold in Philly, so they may slam them with gun charges, too. So it's a huge issue that comes out of the drug war, where they basically just scared the shit out of middle America about drugs, and middle America accepted every possible harsh punishment that they could throw at them.
In Virginia, there's a law that's based on the amount of weight of the marijuana. And it, basically what it says is if you possess a illegal drug, Schedule 1 or 2, like cocaine, in any amount, and a gun at the same time, possess those two things together, you're guilty of this violating this law. And the marijuana, we worked hard in Virginia to make it not be any amount of marijuana, but it wound up being like 5 pounds of marijuana. But still, 5 pounds of marijuana together with a gun in close proximity in Virginia clicks up a state law violation, as well as the federal violation. And I think it's worth noting that the federal government doesn't get involved in that many arrests. You know, it's the state that usually does most arrests. The federal government has come up with like a convenient rule of thumb of about 100 plants or more, but they're usually in the thousands of plants and, you know, multiple outlets and big, you know, commercial buys and things like that. If they get involved in a single person, it's probably pretty political, and they've done that before. They went after our buddy up there, the Prince of Pot up in Vancouver.
Rick Simpson?
No, they went after him politically as well. Yeah, no, I was thinking about Mark Emery, yeah.